I tell you what, I'm happy to be back with you all this morning. We get to have a first this morning. You know, I've never been to the point where I've changed what I thought I was going to talk on while I was sitting on the pew. That's never happened to me before. But I got some good advice from Brother James and Brother Luke that when that happens, that's what I should go with and not try to preach on what I had on my mind. So we're going to, y'all pray that the Lord is in this and the Holy Spirit is in it. I believe He is. He's already moved my heart this morning. And it's a little bit of a rerun. It's what I tried to preach on last Sunday at Good Hope. But apparently it's a message that needs to be said. And maybe more God's people need it. You know, and I don't think it's a coincidence that yesterday was my daddy's birthday. And this sermon that I tried to preach was inspired by a song that he loved. When we were growing up, my daddy had this old cassette tape of a song by the Reverend F.C. Barnes. It was a song called Going Up the Rough Side of the Mountain. And daddy just had the single. And he would play that cassette over and over and over all the way to Good Hope from Zachary, Louisiana for 3 hours and 45 minutes. My daddy and a lot of y'all are familiar with what it feels like to be going up on the rough side of the mountain. Certainly in these days and these times, it feels like we're fighting an uphill battle sometimes. It feels like that we're having to climb and scrap. But I want to tell you about a story about going up the rough side of a mountain. And hopefully you'll find some inspiration and comfort from it. If you'll turn with me with your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel 14. Verse 14, to give you all a little background of what's going on here. There's a battle about to happen at a town called Michmash. That's a real city. You can go look it up on a map these days. You can look up the geography. Matter of fact, I had to go do that to figure out where all these places are and get an understanding of how this battle was going to be laid out. If we read in verse 14, we'll find that Jonathan, Saul's, and the army of Israel is gathered at Gibeah. And they're gathered there because Jonathan already defeated the garrison of Philistines there at Gibeah. And after he had defeated that garrison, Saul blew the trumpets and proclaimed the victory, which made the rest of the Philistine army mad. And they had gathered a host like never, it says, never seen before, like the sands of the seashore. 30,000 chariots. I believe it was 6,000 horsemen and a host like the sands of the seashore. And from where they were at Gibeah, they could see the Michmash and they could see the host. And some of the Israelites had began to fear. Some had fled to the caves. Some had fled over into to Gilead. Some had, it says some got in a pit, literally in a hole. You know, I think some of God's children can relate to that. You know, fear is rough. Sometimes it feels like we just need to flee. Sometimes it feels like we need to get in the hole. And to the point, you'll find out that there were 3,000 men with Saul and Jonathan. But when they came to this point at Gibeah, you find that there were only 600. So apparently at some point, some of these, even the soldiers, had got scared and run off. And there was only 600 there at Gibeah with Jonathan. Oh, and by the way, while the Philistines had rule over them, they had forbid the Hebrews to have blacksmiths. So the Hebrews had no weapons. They had no spears. They had no swords. All they had were some plowshares and some axes, and they had a file to sharpen with. A bunch of farm boys. And the only one that had a sword or any weapon was Jonathan and Saul. That was the background. Now let's start in 14. Now it came to pass on a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. You know, I read that. I said, you know, usually I'd tell my father anything. If I was about to go do something, I'd go tell him. But you know what? I come to the conclusion of, if the Lord lays something on your heart to do, sometimes it's best to just go do it. You know, if he went and talked to Saul about what he was about to go do, you know, any good daddy would try to talk Jonathan about it. Jonathan and his armor bearer, them two alone, were about to go try to take on a garrison of Philistines of at least 20 men. You know, if any good daddy would have tried to talk him out of that. But Jonathan just went. He didn't tell his father. Sometimes when the Lord lays something on our hearts, we just got to go do it. Got to go do it and trust that he's going to be with us. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And it was Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest, and Shiloh were an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. I want you to understand that it was just Jonathan and his armor bearer. That's the only thing. That's the only person that went with Jonathan was him and his armor bearer. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of one was Bozeth, and the name of the other, Sena. Now, you can go on a map right now, and you can go see where these mountains were. And I had to go do that just to get an idea about where this passage was, where these mountains were, and where Jonathan and his armor bearer were going. I also want to emphasize that point because I want you to know this is not just a story I'm telling you about this morning. This is a historical account of a battle that happened at the Battle of Michmash. It is a historical account. It really happened. This is not a cleverly devised fable. This is historical fact. You can take it to the bank. And you can also go to the map and find out. See, I like to see how the battle's going to be laid out. I like to understand. See, because when you understand what the settings are, what the geography was, one of my biggest desires as I stand before God's people is to make this word real to them. That this is not just a story. This is real. And I think the best preachers do that. And I'm trying to be the best that I can be. I want you to know this was real. These are real mountain systems. They're still there to this day. This passage is still there to this day. As a matter of fact, it's the only passage through these mountains, and the Philistines had control of it. Now, when you understand that there's a mountain range here, one called Sena, that's closest to Gibeah where Jonathan and Saul were. There's one called Bozeth, that's to the north side where Michmash was. There's a passage that comes out of Gibeah. It goes around Sena and comes back through Bozeth and comes back to Michmash. So it makes the S of this mountain. So there's a mountain on this side. There's a mountain on this side. And the passage comes through here through the valley. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozeth, and the name of the other, Sena. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. That's what I just told you about. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over. Now I want to emphasize, let us go over. See, Jonathan wasn't taking the passage. From where the Philistines were, if he would have took the passage that was given him, and it was the only passage, the Philistines had control of it, they would have been easily spotted. But Jonathan said, let's go over. So Jonathan's plan of attack was him and his armor bearer. We're going to go up and over Sena, down into the valley, and be at the foot of where the Philistines were on Bozeth. That's their plan. They're going to go up the mountain, down in the valley, to the foot of the other mountain. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Aren't you thankful this morning that we serve a God that the odds don't matter to? The statistics don't matter. I tell you, I'm so sick of statistics and probability and what the efficacy of this is. And 1 out of 16 die and 1 out of 20 live. And all of these things that we hear. And who knows what's the truth? If you want to prove a point, I tell you what, you can go Google any statistic you want to prove any opinion or any point you want to make. And who knows whether they're true. But I'll give you a statistic that is 100% true all the time. Our God is victorious, and if He be with us, no one can stand against us. And we should be united in that statistic. Thanks be to God that we serve a God. There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. You know what an armor bearer's job was? It's self-explanatory. It was to bear his armor. It's to take care of his armor. Isn't it wonderful, brethren, sometimes if God lays something on your heart to do it, isn't it wonderful when one of your other brethren come help you do it? I tell you what, I'm thankful. And I think about the deacons of this church and the deacons of other churches that have helped ministers over and over again. Oh, they couldn't feel the stand, but they did so much to support them and help them bear their armor and send them on God's way. You know, one of my favorite stories that my grandpa ever told was when the deacons of the Eastern Mid Association came together and bought him a car so he could go serve the Lord. I tell you what, these days to the minister of God, a car is a piece of armor because it gets him where he needs to go fight. Isn't it wonderful? Brethren, I tell you what, we've been called to be each other's armor bearers, to support one another, to edify one another. When one of our brethren has something on their heart to do, let's try to help them if it's a good cause. Is there a cause? Yes, there's a cause. Let's help each other one to fight for that cause. There is no greater cause than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his armor bearer said unto them, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us. You know, Jonathan believed that the Lord could work for him and give him the victory. But at this point, he didn't know if he would or not. You know, sometimes we're in that state. We don't know if what we got laid on our heart to do is of the Lord or not. But we need to stop and ask him. And I believe that this is Jonathan's way of stopping and asking him. Our way of stopping and asking God and what we would have on our hearts to do is to pray about it, to wait on the Lord. If you're not sure, don't do it. Let's wait on the Lord. And that's what Jonathan was doing. He was saying, we're going to wait on the Lord and see what he would have us do. And this will be the sign. I tell you what, strength and good things happen when God's people stop and wait on the Lord. And this is the sign. And they discovered themselves at the foot of Bozeth. They discovered themselves to this Philistine garrison. And both of them discovered themselves in the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. I tell you what, this old world likes to ridicule and persecute and blaspheme God's people. And these Philistines were no different. Look, they come out of the holes. Jonathan, his armor bearer, never been in a hole. They've been fighting. He already won one battle at Gibeah. They didn't know about the God they were dealing with. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. Come on up, buddy. We got you. There's 20 of us up here. There's only two of y'all. See, they discovered themselves. So they knew exactly how many were with Jonathan. They weren't sneaking up on him. They knew there was only two. And I tell you what. He says, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me. You know, I like to think about Jonathan right here. You know, I don't like to compare everything to football, but that's the closest I've ever been to battle, thank God. There's a lot of men that's fighting real battles today, but this is the only thing I got to compare to this. You know, when me and my left tackle, Justin Taylor, when we knew we owned a defensive end and defensive tackle, and we hit them that first play, and we pushed them off the blocks and pancaked them back into the backfield, you know, I'd smile at Justin and I'd say, all night long, baby, all night long. You know, I like to think, to make this real, because Jonathan was a man just like me and you, I like to think when he heard that, I'd like to think his courage swelled up inside of him because he knew what the will of God was, that God was going to give him the victory. at the bottom of the hill before he ever climbed up the hill and got up there to that garrison. He knew his God would supply the victory. And he looked over his armor bearer and said, let us go up. Now, verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. He still had to go up that rough side of the mountain. He had to get down on his hands and feet. Child of God, I know sometimes it feels like you're down on your hands and your feet and you're crawling. But I want you to know our God has climbed the mountain already and supplied the victory. You might fight through this life. It might feel like you're failing sometimes. But I want you to know those battles that we lose, sometimes the war, our warfare has been accomplished. He has had victory on that cross. He has supplied the victory. He has redeemed us from our sins. And though we fight and we fail sometimes here and we fall, we will never fall forever. We will never be cast down. Oh, we cast down, but we're not destroyed. We have the victory. Don't be discouraged at the foot of the hill, because at the victory the Lord has given it to us. And Jonathan knew that. And Jonathan climbed upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, his armor bearer, shoe after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan, his armor bearer, made were about 20 men, with his were a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. I tell you what, that's some close quarter combat. 2 men versus 20. And the Lord supplied the victory. Our God is not one. Our God is not one that is restrained by many or by few to save. And after that victory, it says, and there was trembling in the host in the field. And among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. And the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul of Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went on beating down one another. You understand what's happening right here? The victory that the Lord gave Jonathan, his armor bearer, had created such a stir in the host of the Philistines that they panicked and started killing one another. The host started melting away. And Saul's watchmen from Gibeah could see the host melting away. And then what happens? And then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan his armor bearer were not there. You know, Saul must have been figuring something really big has happened. Who's gone out from the camp? And when he's numbered, only two had gone out from the camp. And Saul said unto him, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked to the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. Saul has already seen the victory was coming. He's like, we got to go. We got to fight the battle. We got to pursue after him. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. There was a big fight. There was confusion amongst the Philistines. Now, this is my last point I want to make, and I'll close. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. I want you to understand that the Hebrews that had feared before, the ones that had fled, the ones that were in holes, the ones that had went over Jordan into Gilead, the ones that were in the mountains, the ones that were scared, the soldiers that had left, the servants of the Philistines of the Hebrews that were in their camp. I want you to know, when they heard about the victory, it encouraged them. And they came back and assembled themselves. I tell you, child of God, we have a responsibility to shout the victory, to encourage our brethren, to bring them back into the fold, to encourage one another, to edify one another. I tell you what, when we proclaim the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be of good courage. It ought to bring us together. It ought to give us more strength. And whatever this world has to throw at us, whether COVID or RSV or cancer or whatever it is, we are more than conquerors through Him that sent us. None of that stuff matters, because the victory has been won. It's still sometimes when we're at the foot of that mountain, when we don't know exactly which way to go, that it's rough. But I want you to know, whatever mountain we climb, whatever hill we face, whatever valley we're in, don't you know our God is the God of the hills and the valleys? He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. All the cattle of 1,000 hills are our fathers. Whether we own the mountain or whether we own the valley, our God is with us. And if he be for us, no one can be against us. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For he is able to perform that which he promised. And he's given us the victory. And as we walk through this life, we ought to be shouting as we go, victory in Jesus. You know what I think about? I got to fold up here, Brother James. I'm sorry, I'm stepping on your time. But you think about this as we walk through this life too. You know, through the Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, if you think about it, is our armor bearer. Over in Ephesians 6, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. You think about everything God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His Spirit. All those gifts of the Spirit's over there in Galatians 5 and 22. Peace, joy, comfort, long-suffering. You think about the armor that He's given us, the Word of God. We don't have to wonder what the truth is. It's right there. We just got to read it. The riches of His grace and mercy. The helmet of salvation. The sword of truth, our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Isn't it wonderful knowing you walk through this life, our armor bearer is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not only has He provided our armor, but He's provided the victory. Oh, He's with us till the end, He told His apostles. We ought to find great comfort that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will never forsake us, never leave us, and He's provided the victory. No mountain, no hill is too high. And though we go up the rough side of the mountain sometimes, I want you to know when we reach the top, all we can claim is victory in Jesus. So thank you for your good oral attention this morning.